It's time to begin this morning as we get our hearts and minds focused on our worship.
I'd like to welcome you to our Sunday morning worship services here at the Centerville Church of Christ. Appreciate you being here with us today. Especially want to welcome any visitors that we have with us this morning. We also welcome those who may be watching online or listening on the radio. We do have just a couple of announcements in addition to what you see there listed in your program. Renee is dealing with tick fever at home, and so we continue to pray for her that she can have a speedy recovery. Also, Rebecca Anderson, a young lady, a friend of Abigail Lovelace, has recently been diagnosed with leukemia, and so we want to be keeping her in our thoughts and prayers as she prepares for that. Tracy Dotson's visitation will be tomorrow from 5 to 8. That's the niece of Stephen and Lisa Dotson, and her funeral will be on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. We do want to congratulate Miss Colleen Williams as she they recently had her 13th great-grandchild, and she was very excited to share that news with us this morning. And so our thoughts and prayers are with that family as well. Several others on our hearts and minds that we want to be mindful of in the days ahead. Leading in our worship service this morning, our scripture reading will be read by Colby Shelton. Jeremy Qualls will lead our opening prayer. Grady Teat will dismiss us in prayer. Shane will be leading our song service, and Todd will bring a lesson to us this morning. Again, we thank you for being with us. As we begin our worship together, let us humble our hearts and our minds as we go to our God in prayer.
Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what a beautiful day it is. We thank you for the opportunity we have to assemble as your people, to worship you, to sing songs of praise, to talk to you through prayer, to listen to your scripture read, and to hear a portion of your word spoken to us. Father, we thank you so much for the freedoms that we get to enjoy, and this is one of those things, Father, and we're so blessed to be here and be together. Father, we want to lift up several names to you as we begin our worship today, those we know you're aware of, but Father, we do want to continue to petition on their behalf as our thoughts and prayers are with them. We pray for Rebecca Anderson, as Matthew just mentioned, the friend of Abigail Lovelace, has been diagnosed with leukemia, and we just pray that you be with her and be with those that are sent to her as she begins the stages of that and the treatment of that. We just pray that you you help her to be able to overcome that, to deal with that, and that you be with those again to send to her. Father, we pray for Renee. We pray for her as she begins treatments for tick fever. We pray that the antibiotics are beneficial and also productive in alleviating that disease. We pray for Miss Ruth Staggs in the same way as she battles that. And Father, we just pray again just for strength for her each and every day. We pray that you be with Doris Claude and some of the things that he's been dealing with here recently. A few falls and some other things going on, Father, with his medical issues. And we just pray that you be with him, be with Miss Marjorie as she sees him and the rest of the Skelton family as they encourage him and are there to continue to help him and deal with the things that he's dealing with. And we just pray for strength for him. And we pray that you help him to get better as he deals with that. Father, I also want to pray for the family of Tracy Dotson. We pray that you comfort them during this loss. We pray for strength, and we pray that as they grieve that they lean upon you and their faith and their strength comes from you during this time. Father, there are so many others that are loved ones and those we care about and those that we miss often from here that are in nursing homes, that are confined to their homes. And Father, we just pray that you help them to know they're not forgotten. Help them to know in the ways that we can, that we can be an encouragement to them as well as to their families. Father, may we never forget those who are a big part of this church and those who are with us day in and day out. And so often we overlook their absence. And Father, may we not neglect that. May we pay more attention to that. And Father, help us to be an encouragement to them during those times of struggle. Father, we also pray for those, so many in our family here at Centerville, but also those that are our own personal family that are dealing with cancer and health issues. We know that you know what's best for them, and we know that you are the great physician. And Father, may we lay all those burdens at your feet and those struggles that they're dealing with. And Father, we pray that you help them to find the strength they need to sustain the difficulties that they're dealing with. Father, we thank you so much again for the time we have here to worship. May we forget all that's going on in our lives, the struggles we may be dealing with, the pain, the conflicts. Father, may we just focus on you at this time. Father, we do want to thank you for the freedoms that you've given us, the freedoms that we'll enjoy and we can celebrate this weekend, but also the freedoms you give us through Christ. Father, so often we think about the freedoms that we have on this earth. We think about the freedoms we have in this country. But Father, may we think about the freedoms that we get to enjoy simply because we're your children and because we have decided to give our lives to you through baptism. We pray that you help us never forget those freedoms and the freedoms that we so richly enjoy. And Father, we thank you for the blessings we have of being your children. Now, Father, go with us the rest of this service. Help us to do all we can to tell you how much we love you and care about you, Lord. Most of all, we are so thankful that you chose to give your Son on the cross for our sins. And Father, it's through his name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Please stand as we sing.
Worthy of praise and Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor and power, worthy of all our
Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for this day, your day that we come and worship you. Lord, we were mindful of those names that were brought to us earlier, those that are having procedures done in the hospital, sick at home, those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we ask that you watch over those caregivers and family members that are around those situations, Lord, and give your comforting touch to those. Lord, today we are mindful of our community and our country and the freedoms that we have, Lord. We're so very thankful for those that came before us, that fought for those freedoms, those that lost their lives. May we not take that for granted, Lord. Pray for us and future generations that we can continue having the freedoms and the freedom to come worship you, Lord. Lord, as we enter into this period of worship, as you be with Todd and the lesson that he's going to deliver. I'm thankful for Todd and Renee and Carter and Shelby and Matthew and Sissy and the abilities that each of these men have and leadership roles that they have over this congregation and our youth. We're so very thankful for each one of them. Lord, we're thankful for your son that died on the cross for us, that we may have the freedom to be with you. Be with us through the remainder of this service, and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Never was heard. Till I
Good morning. Good to look out and see so many here this morning. Visitors who are with us, we are thankful, and you are an encouragement to us, and want you to know that you, each and every time that you may attend here, that you are our honored guest, and we are thankful for you, and we're thankful for our members who are here. We're just thankful for all that are here. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look there in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you know, today is the 4th of July. It is a time to celebrate our freedom in this great country. And I know there are a lot of things that are going on in our nation. There is a lot of division. There is a lot of turmoil, it seems. But nonetheless, this is by far the greatest land, the greatest nation with which to live in the world. Would you agree? And we celebrate that today. So for this day, may we put aside in this world our differences and remember the freedom that we share and that we celebrate, the freedom that we have this morning to gather here, not to worry about being persecuted or arrested for coming together, and to think about those great men who gathered and they put together those documents that established this great nation. At the same time, I appreciate so much Jeremy's prayer this morning as he remembered those who have given their life for the freedom that we have. And today we are mindful of those. We'll always want to be mindful of those who gave their life for our right and for our freedom to be able to live in such a wonderful, free land in which we live. But you think about Independence Day. You think about the events that led up to that. You think about the wars that were fought. You think about the treaties that were signed and the documents that were written. And we think about what it represents to us today. But if you think about the Bible and you think about, in reality, everything in the world, someone else gave their life for our freedom long before we were even thought about of being a nation. In Luke chapter 8, or Luke chapter 2, that Colby read for us there just a moment ago, beginning in verse 8 and going through verse 14, there you have the beginning story of the groundwork that was to be laid for us to have the freedom, a greater freedom than just physically in a land, but the beginning process of freedom from sin. Freedom from the bondage of sin. The Bible tells us that, you know, without Christ, we are under bondage and we're a slave and we're a slave of sin. And that story that we read there in Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Christ and the things that go along with that and what the angels pronounced when they came there, that we see this beginning story. You know it as the gospel. What is the gospel? What does the gospel mean to you? For the month of July, we are going, for this Sunday and the next two Sundays, to do a little series of dealing with what the gospel means in regards to our faithfulness. And we're going to talk about the very basics of this gospel. That we know that the gospel, by definition, means good news. But what does that mean? Have you heard that all your life? I've heard that all my life. You go to Bible class as a kid and they teach you, what does the gospel mean? Well, it means good news. Well, if that's all you learn about the gospel, I think you're falling short of the whole realm of what that's all about. Just as today, as we're celebrating July the 4th, freedom for our nation. And there'll be many ways, and you know, practically, at least around my house, they've been celebrating all weekend till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We will continue to celebrate that freedom, and we get excited about that. It seems in our world in which we live, people don't need a whole lot to have a party. But we do celebrate with excitement the great freedom that we share, and that's good and that's right. But the pronouncement made here in Luke chapter 2 is greater news than just freedom for a nation. It's the beginning of freedom of spiritual bondage, of spiritual sin. When we think about the gospel, we realize it is the good news. But to break the gospel down as it's done biblically in Scripture, we understand that that gospel is a three-part representation. That it's a good news about the death of Jesus Christ. And what's good news about that? Well, we're going to talk about that next week. And then we see that part of that good news is His burial and His resurrection. And we're going to talk about that the week after that. But all of these are vital components into understanding what's so good about the gospel. What's the good news for us? What does it mean for us? Well, Paul breaks it down for us. There I had you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There, read with me together this morning, beginning in verse 1. Look what Paul says about the gospel. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are," what's that word? "You're saved." The gospel saves us. "If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, if you take this verse, and you go back and you take Luke chapter 2, and you lay them side by side, and you start looking for similarities of these verses, you get a very good understanding of what the Bible's telling us, of what this good news is really all about. There is good news. Well, what is that good news? It's a good news and an understanding about Jesus Christ. I want to give you this morning five things that I think we can gain from these two scriptures into understanding what is this good news really all about. How many of you really understand the 4th of July? You know, as a kid growing up, you know, you're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. You go and your parents take you to these celebrations and you see all of these fireworks. You know, for a long time in my life, until I really got into history classes in school, I always thought, well, the 4th of July was the time that we cooked hamburgers, ate hot dogs, and we shot fireworks in the air. I didn't really understand the meaning. As I matured and as I was taught, and the older that I get, the more that it means to me. Other holidays as well. But maybe it's the same way with you this morning when it comes to your Christianity, when it comes to the gospel. If you're like me and you've been raised in the Lord's church, and for that I'm thankful. I'll never apologize for that. But there comes a time in your life, unlike some folks who have been brought to the Lord, who never had any kind of really strong foundation, you know, they come to someone teaching them. But for me in my life, there came a point where I really questioned what I believed. You ever done that? When I got to college, when I got to Lipscomb my freshman year, I'll be honest with you. Church, my spirituality, my relationship to God wasn't really a priority. And for a long time, it was that way. Now, when I'd go home, I'd go to church. I didn't want to make mom and daddy mad. But when I was at school, I wasn't going to church. And then one day it hit me. Something's missing in my life. And I don't know what it is. So I went and talked to one of my professors, and he very lovingly said, "Listen, you've got to find your faith." I'll be honest with you. I looked at him like he had three eyes. "I've got a what?" He said, "You've got to find your faith." And I said, please explain that to me. And he said this, listen, you've grown up all your life believing what your parents have taught you. And I'm not saying what your parents have taught you is bad. I believe that you've been raised right. I believe that you've been taught the truth. I believe you faithfully obeyed the gospel based on what you believe of the good news of Jesus Christ. But you're at a point in your life that we find examples in the Bible where you've got to find who you are. You've got to decide, do I believe what I believe because it's right according to the Bible? Or do you believe what you believe because that's what mom and dad taught you all of your life? And then it hit me. I got to find my faith. So I went on a year-long journey in my faith. It was a year of study. It was a year of prayer. It was a year of asking lots of questions to people that I didn't know to get their perspective. You see, this good news that I had heard about all of my life, I knew what it meant. I knew that it was the gospel. I knew that it was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I didn't really understood what it meant to me. I had to find myself. Do you get it now? That professor said, you've got to find your faith. How many of you have found your faith today? How many of you are 100% sure of why you're here today? How many of you believe 100% everything that you've been taught by the scriptures, and that it's good, and that it's right, and that it's acceptable to God? You know, we as the churches of Christ stand on the foundations of this book and this book alone. Do you believe that? The way we worship is not the way that we think we ought to worship because that's what we like. The way that we worship is done based on the principles given to us, where? From the Word of God. Do you believe that? You know, we don't have instruments of music in our worship. Did you notice that today? For 151 years, the Centerville Church of Christ has never once worshiped with instruments of music. Not one time in 151 years. Do you believe that's right? Or should we change that? Now, there are people throughout the brotherhood who are saying, it doesn't matter one way or the other. I don't have a preference one way or the other. Well, you may not have a preference one way or the other, but God did. When God designed and gave us what He wanted us to do for worship. Now, do you believe that? And it all goes back to this idea of finding your faith. I mean, are you here just because it's the Centerville Church of Christ? It's the church on the hill? Are you here just because there are family members that you love who are here? Are you worshiping today because you're just here with family? Or are you truly worshiping here today because you believe in your faith and in understanding the good news of Jesus Christ, that God is pleased by you worshiping on His day, on the first day of the week? Do you see what I mean? All of that is that process of finding your faith. I was baptized when I was 15 years old. Probably a little late for someone raised in the church. But nonetheless, I was baptized on a Monday night. And I'm thankful to say that I was baptized by my father. I love seeing fathers baptize their kids. That Monday night began the process of my relationship with God. I had a lot to learn. That year-long search of trying to find my faith, I questioned everything. Everything about the church, everything about my relationship with God. I mean, you name it in the realm of religion, I questioned it. And I questioned it hard because I determined that I was going to have my faith, that I wasn't going to be just what my mom and dad taught me. I was going to have my faith, and I'd read scriptures and it said, you know, I'm responsible for my life. And that hit me hard. Mom and Daddy can't answer for you. You got to answer for yourself. The good news. Do you know what it really means? Other than just in your mind as a child of God, say, oh, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Yeah, I get it. Do you really get it? Do you really know what it means? Do you truly understand what the angel was saying in Luke chapter 2? When he told them, here comes the Messiah. Here comes Jesus. And he's going to change the world. There's been none like him. And he can change your life as well. What is the good news? Let me give you five things really quickly. Number one, and number two. Number one, it takes away fear. There's a lot of fear in the world today, isn't there? We've lived in the last year and a half with a lot of fear. A lot of fear of the unknown, a lot of fear of what is this going to do and what's my reaction to this and how do I handle that? You know, fear is a motivator. It's not a good motivator, but fear is a motivator. Jesus, this angel comes to say, listen, he's going to take away the fear of the world. I no longer live in fear since I found my faith. And I know some people look at me sometimes when I say that, like, how can you be so confident? That's arrogance. No, that's not arrogance. That's blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And Paul would live his life that way. Paul would say, you know, whatever happens to me, happens to me. I don't care. Because I'm going to be blessed when I leave this world. And if I stay here, well, maybe I'll be a blessing to the church. Man, what an absolutely wonderful attitude in life. You see, Jesus says, I came to take away your fear. Fear of what, Lord? Fear of dying. Fear of eternal life. You see, it's not about this life. It's about the life to come. And that's what the good news addresses. The good news is not addressing this life. The good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is talking about the life to come. And the angel says, listen, he's coming to the world to take away all your fear. What about you today? Do you worship here today with a clear mind and a clear conscience, and a fearless spirit? No, it's not arrogance. It's confidence in the promise of what God has given us. I'm giving you my son to take away all of your fears. I do not fear tomorrow. Do you? I don't fear today. I mean that. Got to find your faith. The gospel, the good news, takes away fear. You've already seen number two and three. It brings joy. It's amazing to me, and I hope when you read scripture that scripture comes to life for you. You know, I hope it's not like, you know, just reading the daily newspaper where you're just getting facts and figures and things like that. I hope when you read the Bible that you actually, you know, kind of put yourself in the setting and it comes to life and you kind of put yourself there. And I'm constantly amazed that when I read about Paul being in prison and all the things that he went through, that Paul did that and he was joyful about it. I don't understand that. One of these days, he and I are going to have a conversation. When I get there, if that's possible, I want to sit down with him and say, please explain to me, but I won't do that because then I'll understand. We get that. But the human side of me says, Paul, how can you be so joyful? I read about him being on a ship, he's shipwrecked, and he's joyful. Because Paul understood his faith. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have promised to him. Paul had joy. Where's our joy today? My joy is not in fireworks. My joy is in what the 4th of July means, the celebration of this great land. My joy today as I worship the Almighty God is not about the people that are sitting beside me, though they benefit and I bless and they bless me in that process. My joy this morning is in that I'm here worshiping the Almighty God because that's what God had commanded me to do, and I'm joyful as I do it. You know, maybe you're like me as a parent when your kids will say, well, come on, we've got to go to church. I hate that word. I hate that phrase. We've got to go to church. And you almost make it sound like, well, it's an obligation. And yeah, part of it is. But at the same time, why not? We get to go to church. We get to go to worship. Guess what you get to do after worship today, kids? You get to go to Bible class. Where's that? I never told my kids that. Guess what we get to do today? Saturday night, you better get in bed early. We get to go to church tomorrow. And we don't do that, do we? Go to bed. We got to get up and get up. We got to get up early. Mama's not going to be happy. We got to go to church. And though we don't intentionally mean it to sound like some kind of drudgery, it kind of comes out that way, doesn't it? I look out this morning and I see parents with small kids. Let me ask you this. How many of you were stressed this morning getting your kids ready to come to church? Was it an argument? Teenagers, you've got teenagers. I mean, were you fighting in the car when you got in the parking lot as soon as you got out of the car and shut the door, put a smile on your face? Well, nobody knows he's fighting all the way here. I get it. But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth every bit of struggle you have with your kids. I don't care what time they got to go to bed or they don't like to get up early. It's worth it. The greatest thing you do for your kids is make them come to worship, but try to do it in a spirit of joy because this is what it's about. How do you sing and not smile? You know, I've sat up here. Done this a long time, and you look back and we're singing the song. Shane, maybe you can agree with this or not. We sing the song, Sing and Be Happy. How do you sing that song and not have joy? But yet you look out and you see people with, if the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. And I know life happens. But shouldn't we be joyful? The angel said, listen, he comes to take away the fear and he comes to bring joy. There's joy in the morning. There's joy when this life is over. We don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't need to be worried about what's going on. We need to be joyful because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have found your what? Faith. Have you found it today? The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, means just that. Thirdly, the good news is available to everyone. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what sin you've got in your life. I don't care how evil you think you are. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if that's you this morning, no matter what you've done, no, the walls won't fall in. No, the world won't come to an end. Jesus said, I want to save you. And this gospel is for everyone. So I don't care what you've done today. Don't give me an excuse that I've done too much wrong. That's baloney. Well, that's a figure that we always said. That's baloney. That's an excuse you're giving. Don't let that facade get in the way of you obeying the gospel. It's good news because it's for everyone. Whoop. Number four, it is a soul-centered gospel. It's not about this life. It's not about this world. It's about the life to come. Do you ever think about the good news that way? This death, burial, and resurrection, there's more to it than just reading it. That when we become a Christian, we reenact the good news, the gospel. It's not about anything physical with this life. It's that spiritual moment in your life where you start that process of finding your faith. Everybody in here wants to go to heaven. Right? I know that. Everybody wants to go to heaven. The good news assures you of heaven. The world will tell you a lot of things. Just have faith. Just believe. Pray this prayer. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. All these different things. But those things are foreign to the Bible. You will not find anywhere in the Bible where it says, now if you want to be saved, pray this prayer. It's not there. If it's there, somebody please show me where it's at so that I can stop preaching death, burial, and resurrection salvation. Tell me where it's at. It's not there. Jesus very clearly gives us, Peter very clearly gives us this soul-centered obedience. It's about our soul. You want to go to heaven, you've got to be baptized. Plain and simple, there it is. How many of you are afraid to tell that to a family member? How many of you are afraid to believe that today? How many of you are mad at me for saying that this morning? You see, it's not my words, it's the Lord's words. It's the truth of God's word, standing on the promises of God. That's the promises of God, that if you want to have a fearless life and have joy and know in your heart that you're going to heaven, you'll obey the gospel. And if it were me, I would obey it as soon as possible. This soul, it brings peace. I have peace in my life. Do you? When this pandemic was going on, still going on, excuse me, everything changed. You changed, I changed, this church changed. One of the things that we have changed to are these. You remember those first couple of weeks of these? Man, I fought. I couldn't get the top one without tearing off the bottom one. Twice I spilled grape juice here. I finally would just hand them to Renee and I said, here, will you open these for me? She had the fingernails to do it, I guess. Shane's bought these new ones and they're a lot easier to get open. Thank you. I don't know that we'll ever go away from these. You know what? It doesn't matter. It's not about the cup. It's not about the process. It's about what it represents. And it represents peace. A lot of things changed. Did you have peace through that? If you're in a right relationship with the Lord, you should have had peace. To know that whatever the outcome or whatever may be, that I'm going to be all right because of the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you have and do you understand that there is good news? There's good news. And that good news is he's still king and he's at the right hand of God and he was there and he's making preparation for us to be there with him. What did he say to them in John chapter 14? I go to do what? To prepare a place for you. There's good news today. There's good news in this world. If you find your faith. What did Peter tell them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You see, there's so much more than just saying it's good news. We're going to break it down the next couple of weeks. I hope we all gain something from it. I want to tell you today, as we bring this lesson to a close, I want to ask you what that professor told me. Have you found your faith? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you belong to? And do you know where you're going? As we sing this song this morning, this invitation song, it's Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Know that peace that surpasses all understanding. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
This song, and the ushers will assist you with that need.
Oh.
Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us each day. We're grateful for the opportunity we have, the privilege and the freedom to come here today to worship and praise thee. Now as we assemble this part of the service to remember the feast that your Son instituted himself and set the example for us, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll focus our minds, our hearts, upon that cruel cross on Calvary, and remember that Christ, though sinless, went to that cross and died for each one of us upon that cross, the sins that we've committed. Our Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bread, which represents his broken body, help us that we might partake of it in a manner which will be well-pleasing unto you. In Christ's name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your Son, that he came and died for us upon that cruel cross. Help us now as we partake of this cup, as it's been his shed blood, the blood that cleanses the earth from sin, that we may partake of it in a manner which will be well-pleasing unto you. In Christ's name, amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. We now have the opportunity to thank God for everything that he gives us. And if you'd like to turn in your contribution, you can do so in the foyer or give it to one of the deacons back there. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all the blessings you bestow upon us. Blessings, Heavenly Father, that we cannot even begin to number. We're thankful for the blessings that you give us that help us to provide our living for ourselves and our families. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we have searched our minds and our hearts, and we will return a portion of that which you have blessed us with, that your work may be carried out upon this earth. In Christ's name, amen.
If you are visiting with us this morning and you did not have an opportunity to fill out a visitor's card, we ask if you will send your information to the number that you see there on the screen. We'd love to have a record of your attendance this morning, as well as send you some encouragement and some information about our congregation. I guess that means that there are no announcements for us this morning, other than we hope that you have a safe and happy Independence Day today, and we hope that you will join us Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We also hope that you will join us tonight at 5 p.m. for our regular Sunday evening worship service. God be with you until we meet again.
Let's please stand as we sing.
Of the fruit in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings you give us. We thank you for the spirit of worship we had this morning, and I ask that we take the message we heard and we apply it to our daily lives, and we share the good news of you to all those that we come in contact with, dear Lord. I ask that you be with us as we go to class, and you just keep us safe until the next appointed time, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.